Wednesday, April 15, 2015. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we release a new podcast every Wednesday, and we bring you just a little bit different of an outlook on the world of sports than you're going to get anywhere else. You can download the podcast on iTunes, you can subscribe to it, and you know, as soon as an episode comes out, it'll automatically download it to your device. You're not an iTunes person, you're not someone that, you know, does the whole Apple thing and all that. That's fine. We have another alternative for you. Go to Stitcher.com. You can also subscribe to it there. And I am hearing about a new Android app that is coming out where you can subscribe to podcasts directly on your Android device, and it will be just the same thing as like if you were on an iPod or an iPhone. Keep you updated on that, and if I get any news on that, I will let you know, but I'm hearing that that is coming. If you do enjoy the podcast, and our numbers are going up, please share. Tell someone, you know, someone you work with, a family member, whatever it might be, let them know. If you get a chance, please go on iTunes, give us a rating, give us that 5-star rating, and give us a review. It doesn't have to be anything big, just something quick. Enjoy the podcast, and that could be it. We'll take whatever we can get. Please, because that just helps us get into the new and upcoming podcasts that are coming out. If you need... Before we get going here, if you do need to contact me, Twitter handle, at Daily Dose Sports. You can find me on Facebook, also Daily Dose Sports. That is D-A-L-Y, Daily Dose Sports. And if you haven't checked out the website, I would encourage you to do so. The website, you know, it's got a little bit of satire. It's not real serious. We keep it pretty loose on the website. But you can go to the website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. New articles coming up every single week. We put a few new ones up there. We have polls on there. We'll have, you know, different kind of articles than you're going to get anywhere else. So check it out and see what you think. We've got a lot of things coming out in the world of sports right now. This week on the podcast, we are going to be looking at, you know, NBA. The NBA is finishing up its regular season tonight. We'll take a look at the playoff matchups that are coming up. Going to take a look back at the first full week of Major League Baseball. Got some thoughts on that. Going to recap the Masters. Masters was a big story over the weekend. NHL playoffs start tonight. Big night tonight in sports, actually. And we're going to give you our Daily Dose Top 5, a very, you know, special segment that is, you know, one of our, a segment that people just seem to enjoy every single week. Came out with something a little bit different today. You'll have to stick around and check that out. We'll have that later for you. Also, next week, I've got an announcement that you don't want to miss. So make sure you tune in next week for an announcement concerning the podcast that you're going to want to check out. Hey, you know, today is April 15th. It is tax day. And hopefully you have taken care of that business. If not, you still got a few hours, but you might want to go ahead and get started with that. Remember, and anytime you're talking about taxes, you're talking about the IRS, remember, it's very similar to like when you go to the doctor. And recently I had to go do the yearly physical thing. And dealing with the IRS is a lot like that when you go to the doctor. My advice to you, bend over, relax. It will all be over soon. Hey, we have some big breaking news coming out today in the world of sports. And the biggest news is that former New England Patriots star Aaron Hernandez has been found guilty of first-degree murder in a late-night shooting and has been sentenced to life in prison. You know, Hernandez is 25 years old, you know, up on this trial for the murder of Odin Lloyd, a 27-year-old landscaper. And I've told you in the last few weeks, when this first came out, and this trial was first starting, I said I didn't think that the prosecution had enough evidence to put him at the site. But as we started to see they had a little more evidence than we thought. And we started to see they had a little more evidence than the defense thought. Because pretty soon, we started to see the defense say, okay, well, initially it was that he wasn't there. Then it changed, and I think that's what did Hernandez in. It changed to, okay, well, he was there, but he wasn't the guy who did it. He is going to be life in prison without parole, has no chance under Massachusetts law. Keep in mind, and I've told you this before, he still has another trial coming up for that drive-by shooting, and they haven't set a date on that yet. Not that that matters. I guess he's already been found guilty on this one. But I told you, you know, in the last couple weeks, this seemed like it was starting to change. This trial seemed like it was starting to switch with the advantage being with the prosecution. And then when we saw the defense kind of change their story and say, well, wait a second. Okay, he was there, but it wasn't actually, well, wait a second. You were trying to spin originally that he wasn't there at all. Now, if you're changing your story about this, then I have a lot of reasons to doubt you on a number of other things. So Aaron Hernandez today, found guilty. Had a couple of people talking about, you know, confused about the justice system these days, and I don't understand how. I don't think there's any question that he did it. You know, the only question I have about this, honestly, the only question I have is, what else did he do that we aren't aware of? We're aware of this one. We know about the next one where there was the drive-by, and it sounds like they have a little more evidence as far as witnesses on that one than this one. I just want to know, what are the ones that we don't even know about? Keep an eye on this story as it, you know, kind of continues to evolve, and we'll see what happens in this next trial. But he's already been found guilty, first-degree murder, and will serve life in prison without parole. Kind of a good news, bad news. Yes, you're going to prison for life. You won't have to play for the Raiders, though. So there's the positive of that. Hey, Tyus Jones of the Duke Blue Devils. Duke freshman Tyus Jones was named the most outstanding player during the Final Four and has declared now for the NBA draft. Now, it was just last week here on the Daily Dose. It was just last week that we named Tyus Jones the winner of the Anderson Hunt Award. You know, showing that you could go from most outstanding player to a guy we never find or hear from again. And there's a number of those guys out there. We have a lot of those guys out there. And now it looks like with Tyus Jones going to take his game to the NBA, it looks like without question. I mean, you just went and proved that the Daily Dose was right on this one, because he's going to go to the NBA and we may not ever hear from him again. Doesn't have great size. He's a pure point guard. Decent scorer. I don't know how that's going to translate, though, at the next level. And we'll see. But now he is going to jump to the NBA draft, and I'm not sure if he is ready for that big jump. That is a huge, huge jump. We've got one other news item that I want to get to. You know, the Manny Pacquiao fight with Floyd Mayweather is coming up, and they have a media workout that was coming up. Looks like Mayweather showed up to the media workout 2.5 hours late. And Pacquiao's manager, Freddie Roach, did not mince words. He says Mayweather's a different kind of guy. You know, he's late for his media workout, leaves the major media outlets scheduled with nothing. How selfish is that? Doesn't figure out much to see why everyone is rooting for Manny. And I think on some level he is right. Everyone is rooting for Manny. Again, you're going to have to take my word for this. We've got an announcement coming up next week, and it just might have something to do with this fight. So something to keep in mind as we continue forward here on the Daily Dose. Got a lot of things to get to. We better jump in, because we've got a lot of things to get to, and I don't know if we're going to have enough time to get to them all. Biggest news of the weekend, without question, was 21-year-old Jordan Spieth winning the Masters down in Augusta, Georgia. You know, he tied Tiger 18 under. Just shot an incredible weekend. I mean, he just didn't make any mistakes. And what I wonder when I see this, is, could he be the next big thing that golf is kind of looking for? Because Jordan Spieth is a little bit different. And you saw him in that tournament, how different he is, because he doesn't have this huge drive game. He doesn't have this long ball that everybody, you know, seems to love. But his short game is phenomenal. And his putting, he doesn't make mistakes. And he certainly doesn't make these huge glaring mistakes that you say, yes, he went from birdie to bogey to four over all of a sudden. He just doesn't make very many mistakes. Now, I want you to think back just a little bit. Thanksgiving night, 2009. Tiger Woods crashes his you know, SUV or whatever into a fire hydrant. And his wife at the time, Ellen Nordgren, is chasing him around with a golf club or a wiffle ball bat or an axe or whatever it was that she had. And you know the PGA had to be dying, because Tiger is a mess. Who knows what we have with him. He's obviously got his own issues away from golf, but they're going to affect him on the course. And Phil Mickelson is aging. Who is our future? Where are we going to go from here? But you know what? Like sports usually does, the next generation starts to show itself and we start to see a next generation coming on. And we've got people like Jordan Spieth. We've got people like Bubba Watson, Justin Rose, who played very well. Both of them played well enough that if it were any other weekend, they might have been right in the hunt. And as it was, because Spieth was so good, we didn't even, you know, pay much attention to him. Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler. You know, there is a ton of upcoming talent to take over. And we saw, this weekend, we saw there still are those, you know, the allegiance that we have for Tiger, the love that we have for Tiger, for Mickelson. You see, the crowd, you know, giving them all the cheers and that kind of thing. But the future of the PGA is still pretty bright with those youngsters coming up. One thing you may not have noticed, though. One thing that I just want to kind of just keep an eye on, you know, Jordan Spieth winning was big for a completely different reason. And yes, he almost broke Tiger's record there at the Masters. He tied it. He was that close. But here's one thing I want you to keep in mind. Jordan Spieth plays for Under Armour. And of course, Tiger has his allegiance with Nike. There's going to be a 30 for 30 coming out, I believe, tomorrow night. And it is going to talk a little bit about the sneaker companies. You might want to keep an eye on that. If you don't, I'll probably give you a report on it next week. But just something interesting to see the transition of this game going from... If you would have said 5 or 10 years ago, no, Under Armour is going to start taking a bite out of Nike, you'd have said, you're crazy. There's no way. Who is Under Armour? Nope, not anymore. Not anymore. Hey, speaking of Tiger Woods, Tiger goes out... at the Masters, plays pretty well, I guess. He goes 5 under for the tournament and finishes tied at 17th. Still, and I've told you this, I've gone on record as saying I don't think he can win another major. I think there are too many flaws in his game, and I think there are too many flaws in him physically. Not the mental side of it. I think he can get past some of that stuff. You can always bring in a shrink and try to get your head right. But I don't think you can suddenly get younger. I think that's a really tough thing to do. I don't think you can suddenly make your back not hurt anymore or make your knee suddenly healed and go back to 25 years of age. That doesn't happen. And so based on that, I don't know that he can ever win a major again. I think he can, you know, play and kind of do what he did this last week and scrap a little bit, but I don't think he can win a big one again. But I did see a couple things in Tiger Woods that I liked. There were a couple things that I saw that I took note of that I really did. I liked what I saw, just a few things. It's interesting because we're used to Tiger being so good with the long ball, so good with the drive. He wasn't great with the drive. But the thing I did like is it didn't seem like he was swinging so hard. I mean, he goes out and tries to crush the ball and does it. Didn't seem like he was doing that. And that's better for his body. That was better for his game. His short game still wasn't great. Still has to improve, in a number of different areas. But it seemed like he had almost kind of shaken, the mental side a little bit. Now it's just, you know, can he physically start playing better? But I did see another thing that I liked. Something that I just liked just at, on a personal level. Did you see him on the 9th on Sunday? And Tiger drives, he gets off just a little bit to the edge of the woods there. He's going to have to chip out. And when he chips out, he drops the club like he just got shocked by lightning. And he says that he hit a root and that his wrist bone popped out and he popped it back in. That's what he said. I'm not making this up. That's what he said. He hit a root, his wrist bone popped out, and then he popped it back in and it hurt. He dropped the club. You would have thought that the club was on fire the way he dropped it. Now, the reason I like this is because it reminds us where golfers rank on the athlete toughness scale. He hit, I don't want to call Tiger out on this, but there were some reporters that went over and said they didn't see a root. So right off the bat, there's a little bit of skepticism. But, you know, we have this toughness scale, and I'm trying to kind of figure where golfers fit in. Because you walk... You don't run. You ask for quiet. You don't allow, you know, a crowd to be yelling at you or anything like that. So golfers' toughness scale is a little bit different than everyone else's. Now in baseball, and I'm trying to just think of what sidelines you in certain sports. What takes you out of the game in certain sports? So like in baseball, you get a blister on your pinky, you're probably sidelined for a couple weeks. You're gonna come out for that. Basketball kind of depends on the player, but you'll see somebody maybe break a finger here or there. You might see a knee injury here or there. You might see a sprained ankle. And if it's Paul Pierce, they may take him out in a wheelchair. He'll come right back, though. That's the thing about basketball players. They'll have that initial injury. They'll writhe around in pain and act like they're about to die, but they'll usually come right back. So it doesn't take them out for long. You've got football. And see, what my guess is with Tiger is that he probably did connect with something hard. Maybe he just got the ground or whatever, and it kind of gave him just that little stinger in his hands. Now, football players get a stinger to their head, not to their hands or their wrists or their arms. They take stingers to their head constantly, and they maybe either stagger off the field, or like we saw in the Super Bowl, they just stay in and continue to play, and it doesn't even matter. So do you see the scale that we've built up here? And then you've got guys, you know, like hockey players, and they're on a whole different level. Well, they'll like have a lacerated spleen or a kidney, and they don't even miss a shift. They just like stuff some gauze in their back and just keep on going. But I like the fact that Tiger kind of reminded us, yes, we're athletes. We're some of the best players golf-wise in the world. And on the toughness scale, we're right around the whole baseball blister thing. We're right in there. Because even if he did hit this route, which what I don't think he did, let's say that he did. Okay, so you took a little stinger in your fingers. You'll be okay. I'll promise you, your wrist didn't pop out. You might think it did because you're a golfer. It didn't. That kind of stuff happens in other sports. Hey, let's talk a little bit about the NHL playoffs. Yes, I know you're shocked. I'm going to talk some NHL. Please, please, please don't stop the podcast. Don't just turn it off and say, I'm not listening to this. It'll be quick. The Stanley Cup playoffs begin tonight. They start tonight, and I know they're hard to find. If you're just flipping through your standard channels and you're like going, you know, through the major networks or ESPN, no, you're not going to find them there. You've got to go to like the Hallmark Channel and like country music TV or something like that, and you'll find them. But if you do find them, there is a ton of excitement. And I will say this about the NHL. I don't know if any sport ratchets up its excitement level from regular season to postseason like the NHL. Every single shift is life or death. And the interesting thing about the NHL playoffs is that your seed doesn't really matter. I mean, I'll go through the seeds very, very quickly. Montreal is the one versus Ottawa in the East. That is actually a very, very good rivalry. I could totally see Ottawa beating them. Tampa's the two versus Detroit. The Rangers are the three versus the struggling Penguins. Penguins are probably just lucky they even got in. And then the Capitals against the Islanders is the 4-5. But if you look at that, I mean, Ottawa is the eight. If you just get good goaltending, if you just get a goaltender that gets hot at the right time, an eight could win the whole thing. That's the insane thing about the NHL playoffs. Over on the West, we've got the Ducks versus Winnipeg, which, I mean, Winnipeg, just saying Winnipeg in the playoffs is amazing. Vancouver versus Calgary, another one of those kind of little bit of a rivalry out West. St. Louis versus Minnesota as the 3-6. Blues versus Wild should be an entertaining series, and a series both teams of which I probably hate. And then in the 4-5, we've got Nashville versus Chicago. Chicago just trying to get healthy right now and see if they can get everybody back. I know, it's NHL. And I know with the NHL, we don't always, you know, tune in like we should. But I'm telling you, if you see it on, my encouragement to you, just hang with it for a second, because you will see excitement like you don't see anywhere else. It really, really does change. Tonight, we do have four games going, and they will be entertaining. Again, I don't know if you can find them. You might have to go to some weird channel to find them, but if you do find them, check them out. Give it a chance. Even if you're not a hockey person, if you're a hockey person, obviously I'm preaching to the choir, but if you're not a hockey person, give it 5 minutes and just check out the excitement that comes with it. It is insane. Let's talk a little bit about Major League Baseball. I know, I shocked some people last week. I actually heard from a number of you last week saying, you actually talked about baseball? Did you really give us kind of a baseball preview? Yes, yes. Sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we have to do that. And at this time of year, we got to talk a little bit of baseball. Am I going to talk and break down, you know, everybody's bullpen and, you know, who can do that? No, I'm not doing all that. For one, I'd fall asleep. And if I'm asleep, you guys are probably asleep. We don't want to do all that. But I do want to look at a couple things. I want to look at a couple things because right off the bat, we're a week in. And I want to just take a look at the standings in Major League Baseball right now. Because, you know, in the AL East, we've got the Red Sox sitting up at 6-2, the Rays, and then back of the pack is the Yankees, and I don't think the Yankees are going to change too much from there. Over in the Central, I mean, Kansas City Royals have come out and played really, really well. I think we kind of expected the Royals to maybe take a step back. That has not happened yet. I know they don't have a lot of superstars on that team, but that is a very, very solid team. They haven't taken a step back just yet. They're playing really, really well right now. Tigers are 7-1, look good. The Indians that I picked has kind of surprised some people, struggling at 2-5. Over in the West, Oakland A's, yeah, they're up top. Everybody else kind of with a struggling record. When you look at the National League, though, is when you start to see some interesting things. Braves are sitting at 6-2 in the East. And in the back, in the very last place in the NL East, the Washington Nationals are sitting at 2-6. Now, we'll see if that holds up, but, we'll, you know, right off the bat, kind of gets your attention. The Reds are at 5-3. The Cubs are at 4-3. Kind of interesting. And in the NL West, the Colorado Rockies are 6-2 and in first place, while the San Francisco Giants are 3-6 and in last place. Last place. Now, here's the thing, and here's the reason that I bring this up, because you may be wondering why I'm going with this. We are a football nation, and we want to make, you know, these grand proclamations. I've told you we do this a lot of times, but especially after 1 week. And so, like, in the NFL this last year, we were like, oh, man, the Patriots don't look very good. Oh, man, the Seahawks are really struggling after you know, week one. But it doesn't work in the NFL where there's just a 16-week season. Why would we think it would make any sense in Major League Baseball where the season is like 137 weeks? And so I've actually had a few Rockies fans giving me some grief. Hey, you know, we're 6-2. You know, we started off like 4-0. Yeah, slow down. Easy, because this is a long season. And here's the thing I want you to keep in mind. If I can just get you to keep in mind one thing, keep this in mind. At the beginning of this NBA basketball season, Denver Nuggets fans were excited early too. That's how much this can all change. When you have a season that is 170 million games, the first week is a blip on the radar. This can all change drastically. And the thing with the Rockies, and again, I'm cheering for the Rockies. I hope they do well. I just don't have any faith in them because I know they don't have any depth, and eventually this is all going to crumble and fall apart. We'll see. We'll keep an eye on it. But let's not you know, start making these big, bold predictions after just 1 week. We got a long way to go. I mean, we're going to be going to, like, getting close to Halloween with baseball. We've got a long, long way to go. Let's talk a little bit about the NFL. Had some NFL news come out this week that was kind of interesting. A couple things. First of all, Pittsburgh Steelers safety Troy Polamalu retired last week. Where do you rank Polamalu as you know, safety-wise, as one of the all-time greats? Is he top 5? Is he top 10? Sometimes Polamalu did things that were very, very instinctual. There were times that he reminded me a little bit of Junior Seau, because it wasn't always by the book. And sometimes he got burned doing it. But he was so instinctual, and he would go to places that you would look at and say, what is he doing? But he knew what the other team was going to run, and he had such great instincts, he could find ways to make plays. Now, when I look at him, I'll put him top 10 safety. I believe he's a Hall of Famer. I think he's one of the best to play. I struggle putting him up in front of some of these other safeties that were out there. He's not better than Ronnie Lott. He's not better than Ken Houston. He's not better than Paul Krause. I don't know if he's better than Steve Atwater. I don't think he's better than Ed Reed. Maybe after that, I can start to look at you know, what Polamalu did. He played on some great teams. They won some championships. So I guess he's up in that ranking. And like I said, I do think he's a Hall of Famer, which is tough. And you're going to see the Hall of Fame committee kind of push back. We, you know, safeties. I don't know if we put safeties in there. Well, then why do you even have them? But we'll see if Polamalu will get into the Hall of Fame, and you know, maybe somewhere down the road we may have to talk about and rank some of the top positional players all time. Hey, there are some rumors floating out there, and I've told you this in the past. I told you that I think that the Chargers could end up moving to L.A. I think that's a distinct possibility. I think that maybe the Rams could move to L.A. I think the Chargers could move to L.A. And Philip Rivers, Chargers quarterback, says he doesn't want anything to do with that. Now, there's a couple things to think about. He said, in fact, he would be interested in seeking a trade if that were to come about because he doesn't want to live in L.A. He does not want to live in L.A. Now, there's a couple things about this that strike me as a little bit odd. He, you know, he doesn't want to pack up his family and move them. What is it, 100 miles from San Diego to L.A.? It's not like you're moving continents. Slow down, Philip. Philip Rivers is a weird dude, by the way. And no, this doesn't just go back to the rivalry that we have with the Chargers. He just kind of, I don't know, he kind of comes off, he gets really excited about really weird things, and then he takes stands on really odd things like this. No way I'll move to L.A. You basically live there already. It's not that different. It's like 100 miles. You don't even have to move. You could just drive up if you wanted to. But here's the other weird thing. So you would rather move your family 3,000 miles and go back east rather than just, you know, go up the 100 miles? Weird dude. May have eaten a lot of paste as a kid. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But here's the thing that's interesting. He says if they move it, he would look at seeking a trade. And I want you to just keep in mind that his former offensive coordinator, Ken Wisenhunt, is the head coach with the Tennessee Titans. And when he was his offensive coordinator in San Diego, they had a lot of success. Probably the best that Rivers has ever looked. Now, the Titans have the number two pick. Any chance that they would trade that number two pick for Rivers, and then San Diego would take Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston, whoever's left. I think it'll be Mariota because I think Tampa is all in on Jameis Winston. But is that a chance that could happen? I don't know. Maybe. I think it's out there. I think it's something you at least have to look at. And if you're San Diego, you get that young quarterback, maybe. I personally would rather have a proven guy, but I don't know. If he's going to be a guy that wants out of there anyways, do you pull the trigger and make that move? Something to keep in mind, and we'll keep an eye on that as we get closer to the draft. The draft is just a little over 2 weeks away. It's coming very, very quickly. The Oakland Raiders made some news this week when they signed wide receiver Michael Crabtree. He was with the 49ers. And Michael Crabtree, to me, is the perfect signing for the Raiders. I mean, here's a recognizable name that is no longer good and costs way too much money. 1 year, $3 million against the cap. Well done, Raiders. I would expect nothing less from you. Hey, we had another story come out this week. Speaking of stupid, the New York Jets cornerback, Darrelle Revis, apparently he had his Instagram hacked. And by hacked, I mean he probably got drunk and started throwing up stupid things on his Instagram. And let me just give you a couple of quotes that he was lobbing out on Instagram. Darrelle Revis, I don't know what it is when you go to New York, if people just get stupid or what it is. Some of the things that he posted on Instagram: I got a ring, I'm paid, I'm worth more than you. You know, did you go out and physically play like I did? He was kind of arguing with some fans that were gonna get on there, and some of his fans were telling him that he had never won anything until he hitched his wagon to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And Revis sees it the other way around. He says, they ain't ever won one until I came, so who got a ring? You know, I didn't have to go there, so basically I did Bill and Tom a favor, not the other way around. Again, let's just be clear about one thing. Darrelle Revis' Instagram did not get hacked. This is someone who got liquored up and decided they'd start, you know, throwing stupid things out there and arguing with people. What? just own it and be like, yeah, hey, I got lit and decided I'd start yelling some things. It's like, there really is something in the water out there in New York. Well, I think of Rex Ryan and some of the dumb things that he has said. Some of the players in the past that have been in New York, Keyshawn Johnson and guys like that. You get out in New York, I don't know what it is. There is something out there that you just start saying stupid things. Hey, Johnny Manziel's out of rehab. He got out of rehab this past week. So he must be all better now. I will say this. The Cleveland Browns had better not name him a starter anytime soon. Because naming him a starter is just going to send him right back to rehab, or at least send him right back to where he was, which is not a good thing. They had better dangle that carrot out in front of him for as long as they can. And I realize you've got, you know, old man Josh McCown as your only other quarterback out there. You better keep him as your starter for a while. Former Rams and former Nebraska running back Lawrence Phillips is serving over 31 years in jail. He's serving in a California prison. He had beat some women, and he had gotten in an argument with some teenagers and had drove his car into the teenagers. He is serving over 31 years in a federal prison. Now, do you remember back in 1995, and some of you may be too young to remember this, the Nebraska Cornhuskers were getting ready to play for the national championship, and he had gotten in trouble. Lawrence Phillips had gotten in trouble for beating up his girlfriend. And his head coach, he had been suspended. His head coach, Tom Osborne, brought him back and said, I wouldn't really say beat her. Well, no, he just drug her down flights of stairs by her hair. Call it what you will. You know, get all technical. I don't know what the, you know, layman's term is it. But I'd say he probably beat her up. So he reinstated him. Phillips goes on, plays. They win the championship. He goes on and gets drafted, and he's been in trouble ever since. Now, Lawrence Phillips is the number one suspect in the killing of his cellmate in prison. His cellmate turned up dead in prison. I can't wait to see Tom Osborne say, well, I wouldn't really call it a murder. And by the way, I think he can play in the season opener against BYU this next season. Granted, he's like 39 years old, but still, if Tom wants it, it shall be done. Let's take a look at the NBA. You know, the final night, like I said before, the final night of the NBA regular season is tonight. And playoff series are going to be starting already on Saturday. And you know, tonight, we have some major, major playoff implications. I mean, there are some crazy scenarios tonight. Let's take a look at a couple of these. And I want to try to get a feel for not only, you know, what is going to line up, but how is it actually going to play out? Now, not as many stories over in the East. For one, the East is awful. We all know that. But there's really only a couple of scenarios that can change tonight. Tonight, we have the Pacers against the Memphis Grizzlies and the Orlando Magic at the Brooklyn Nets. If the Pacers win, they are in, and they are the 8th seed. And like I told you before, you might look at that and say, well who cares? The Pacers are pretty awful. Not a big deal. They match up at least reasonably well with the Atlanta Hawks, who is the number one seed. That could be interesting to watch. Now, I don't think the Pacers are going to go to Memphis and win. I think they're probably going to go to Memphis and get beat. But if that's the case, Magic at the Nets, and if the Nets win, the Brooklyn Nets are somehow going to get in the playoffs. Here's the thing about that, and that might not sound like a huge thing. The Nets right now are 37-44. They are 7 games below 500, and they're going to get in the playoffs. And I think they will. I don't see any way the Pacers go into Memphis and win. So I think the Nets are actually going to get in. All they have to do is beat the Magic at home. That's pretty easy. The only other thing going on over here, the only other spot that is kind of up for grabs is the 3 and 4 spot over there. And the Bulls, if they win tonight against Atlanta, they get the 3 seed. Atlanta doesn't have anything to play for, so I would think that the Bulls could win that. Bulls are starting to play really, really well coming down the stretch. And you know, it's interesting because it was just a couple weeks ago. You kind of going through and looking at some of the teams, and I think I was looking at a different team, and I saw the Bulls, and their defensive ranking had dropped down into the low 20s. And I was going, wow, for a Tom Thibodeau team, for a team like the Bulls that they, I mean, they kind of pride themselves on their defense. What are they doing? And it's interesting because since they've gotten Derrick Rose back, it's starting to climb. And they're starting to already get into the top 10 defensively. Keep an eye on Chicago. They've won 7 of their last 10. I don't know that they can make a run, and I think over in the East, I think it's probably just two teams. But Chicago would be a team that if they were healthy, they could cause problems for a number of different teams. If they win tonight, they get the 3 seed. If the Raptors win tonight, home against Charlotte, and the Bulls lose, then the Raptors would jump into that 3 seed. I think the Bulls will win that. Here's what we do know. We do know in the East, it's going to be the Atlanta Hawks versus either the Pacers or Nets. And at the 2 will be the Cleveland Cavaliers against the Boston Celtics. How are the Boston Celtics in the playoffs? Keep in mind that this is a team that at midseason traded away basically everybody. And somehow, Brad Stevens, who went there from, you know, Little Butler University, has gotten them to the playoffs. And I know there are a number of people, Celtics fans, that maybe aren't thrilled with the fact that they're in the playoffs. They would rather get that high draft pick. But they've got picks for days, so it doesn't really matter. They've still got a ton of picks from some of the people they've dealt. And just getting that team into the playoffs is pretty amazing. I don't want to go all coach of the year for Brad Stevens because you're scraping in the East. But you also don't have any players. They have no players. So it's going to be Cavaliers versus Celtics. Now, here's the thing that's interesting to me, though. I know the Cavaliers are the team to beat, and I know all the talking heads are telling you that the Cavaliers are the greatest team since, like, Jordan's Bulls. Cavaliers and Celtics split the series this year 2-2. I don't think the Celtics can beat them when it matters. They're too inexperienced, and honestly, they're not talented enough. But they split 2-2 this year. Just something to keep in mind. That next seed will probably be Chicago, either be Chicago or the Raptors against somehow the Milwaukee Bucks. And then that last one, the 4 over there will be, again, the loser of tonight, Raptors or Bulls, against the Wizards. Washington Wizards seem like they are stumbling right now. And I don't know that they match up very well with either one of those teams. But we'll keep an eye on that. Now, at West, it's a little bit different. Because we have a lot of things in the air tonight. And we actually have 4 games tonight that have major playoff implications tonight. Memphis Grizzlies, like I said, go to Indiana. And if the Grizzlies were to win, they could move up to be a 5 seed. Grizzlies have something to play for. They could be a 5. There's, you know, something there, but I think they'll go in and probably take care of business. Here's another one to think about, though. The Oklahoma City Thunder go to Minnesota tonight. Minnesota, obviously, worst team in the league and have looked awful. But, you know, the Oklahoma City Thunder are playing for something that they have no business playing for. Because if the Thunder win tonight, they get the 8 seed and they make the playoffs. Now, that may not sound like a big deal. Who cares? But late last week, Oklahoma City Thunder point guard Russell Westbrook gets a technical. And that technical, he actually leads the league in technicals. That technical actually gave him, I believe it's 16 on the season, which would have him suspended for 1 game. And that game would have been against the Portland Trailblazers. The NBA takes a look at the technical, and they decide to rescind the technical. Well, he actually didn't get it. I know we saw him get it, and we saw him get teed up, but he actually didn't get it, and they pulled it off and said he didn't get it and allowed him to play versus Portland. And what that tells me is the NBA really wants the Oklahoma City Thunder in the playoffs. Because what do you possibly see to rescind it? It's not like there was a punch thrown. It's not like you look at it and say, well, actually, he didn't connect. We looked at the replay. He didn't actually connect on the punch, so we're going to rescind the technical. It was something he said to the official. So you undermine your officials. And you say, hey, we're going to let him play anyways. We're going to just take that tech away, and we're just going to pretend it never happened. NBA, help me help you. Stop doing shady things. So Westbrook doesn't get suspended, and now if they win tonight at the worst team in the league, and they will, they get into the playoffs. Meanwhile, the New Orleans Pelicans who are playing to try to get in as well. They are also playing for that 8 seed, and if they were to win tonight, they would get in. Here's the problem. They host the San Antonio Spurs, the hottest team in the NBA right now. And the Spurs have a lot to play for. The San Antonio Spurs have a lot to play for. I've got news for you. Pelicans, your season's over. Thunder, you're going to the playoffs to play Golden State. And the entire reason for that is because the NBA allows Russell Westbrook to do whatever he wants. And you can sit there and say, well, they reviewed it and they saw, you can't see what he said. So there's nothing to change there. How do you rescind it? NBA, shady as usual. Here's the thing that the Pelicans have to do. They've got to beat the Spurs at home, and if they do, they get in. But here's the problem. Like I told you, the Spurs have something to play for. If they win, they jump up to the number 2 seed. Now, that doesn't sound like, okay, well, the 2. If they lose, they could be the 3. If they lose and the Houston Rockets win, they could be the 5. If they lose and both the Rockets and the Grizzlies win, they could be the 6. Do you see how big of a difference that is? They need to win. They need to play everybody. Because you don't want to have to go on the road any more than you have to. And if you're a 5 or a 6, you're going on the road for at least 2 series, most likely. If they win, they get the 2 seed. And they get to play the struggling Dallas Mavericks, who ever since they got Rajon Rondo, seem to look like they just can't wait for the season to end. Spurs are going to be the 2. And the Pelicans, for as nice of a story as the Pelicans were, and you kind of root for the Pelicans because they've always been awful. They've got the unibrow. I was kind of hoping they'd get in, but the NBA doesn't want them in. The NBA wants the Thunder in, and that's what's going to happen. Other games on the docket tonight that will affect the playoffs is the Houston Rockets play the Jazz. If the Rockets were to win and the Spurs would lose, they would get the 2, but that's not going to happen. Let me give you the breakdown of how this is going to shape out in the West. Most likely, we are going to have the Warriors against the Thunder, 1-8 in the West. Now, you look at that, and you might stop and say, well, hey, the Thunder can score. They can keep up with Golden State. Oklahoma City's defense is so bad, though. They can't stop anyone. They just gave up something like 113 points the other night to the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers can't score that many points in an empty gym. How did they do that against the Thunder? Warriors versus Thunder, I don't see that being very pretty. Most likely, that number 2 seed is going to go to the San Antonio Spurs, and they are going to get the Mavericks. Should be a nice, easy cakewalk. But do remember one thing, that last year we thought the same thing, and the Mavericks ended up giving them at least a little bit of a hard time. Maybe they can kind of compete. I don't know. I don't give them much of a chance. I don't know what's wrong down there, but ever since they got Rondo, things have been bad in Dallas. The number 3 seed, I believe, is going to go to the Los Angeles Clippers. And they are going to have to face, most likely, the 6 seed Memphis Grizzlies. And that is not a good matchup. Nobody wants to see the Grizzlies. And I don't care if you're the Spurs. I don't care if you're Golden State. Nobody wants to see the Grizzlies. Because they can play a couple different ways. They can pound it inside. They can kind of play ugly. They can kind of play fast. They're a little bit versatile. They can do a few different things. I know their guards can't shoot, but they can make you look a little bit ugly. And then I think most likely in that 4-5 matchup, we're going to have the Blazers against the Rockets. I think that's going to be how that all shapes up. We'll keep an eye on it and see if anything changes. But I think that's how the NBA playoffs are going to stack up. The couple things that can still fall a few different ways, but I don't think there's any question. Warriors, Spurs, those are probably going to be your top 2 seeds. And I think those are the 2 seeds, those are the 2 teams that have a legitimate chance to win it all. I know there's a few other teams out there. Obviously, the Cavaliers are out there. Maybe someone like Memphis. Can you see the Clippers actually putting together a run and winning it all? I see too many flaws with that team. I just don't know if I can see that. I don't know if I can see the Rockets doing that. James Harden has done an amazing job this year. Amazing job that Harden has done this year. I don't know if I can see him carrying a team like that all the way to a title. I hate to say it. I think it's between 3 teams. I think it's the Warriors, the Spurs, and the Cavaliers. I don't know if the Cavaliers can play enough defense. We'll see. Couple things to keep in mind. San Antonio Spurs, like I said, they are getting hot, and they are getting hot at exactly the right time. You know, just about the time you start to count them out, they somehow find a way to respond and get better. And you know, the interesting thing about the Spurs is Tony Parker isn't playing very well for whatever reason. And I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know if age is setting in, if he just hasn't kicked it in yet, or what's going on. Maybe if he has a health issue. But Tony Parker is not playing very good basketball. And somehow, the Spurs have won 11 in a row. So we can look at this, and you see some of the flaws, and you see the age. And maybe if there was an injury, the Spurs could struggle. But if there's an injury, any team in the finals could struggle. Any team in the playoffs could struggle. So they're no different than anyone else from that perspective. They have won 11 in a row. And they're probably going to be playing the best basketball of any team in the NBA going into the playoffs. A couple other teams I want you to keep in mind. Golden State Warriors. And doesn't it seem like we're really, really quick to dismiss them? Yes, they won the regular season. But who cares? When they get in the playoffs, they're just going to get run. And if they have to play the Spurs, it's just going to be a blowout. Well, maybe. Maybe. But you know, the Warriors are 66-15 this year. They are 10 games ahead of second place. 10 and a half games, actually. 10 and a half games of the second place team. Pretty amazing. And you know, the thing that stands out to me about Golden State, as great as they are on offense, and they are absolutely so fun to watch on offense. I like watching them. The job that Steve Kerr has done out there with that group, letting them play, taking the restrictions off them, just, you know, kind of lets them get up and down the floor. They do a lot of different things. The one thing about them is I think they're a really, really intelligent team. I think they're an extremely smart team. You know, as good as they are offensively, you know, they're averaging almost 110 points a game. Almost 110. And you might sit there and say, well, the Spurs would come in, they would shut down that transition, but they're very good in the half court. Speaking of teams that are versatile, they're very good in the half court. They have no problem coming down, running a set, getting a good look for the right shooter at the right spot. And while I don't know if they match up particularly well with San Antonio, you still have the problem of San Antonio is going to have to chase those shooters around. But here's something I want you to keep in mind when it comes to Golden State, and something that you have to think about when it comes to Golden State, is it's not just their offense. As good as Golden State's offense is, and they are very good. Good in the half court, good in transition. They can get out and they can score a ton of points very, very quickly. You know, their defense isn't garbage. We kind of think of this team you just get up and down the floor and you score and you shoot. You know, they're not even allowing 100 points a game. They're sitting about 13th, 14th right now in points allowed. Now, some of that I know is because they have a huge lead. But you also have to keep in mind, they've sat their starters for a lot of the time, too. Golden State, I know that we're kind of quick to dismiss them because we look at them as maybe a finesse team, and a lot of those finesse points are going to get taken away in the playoffs. Maybe. But I do think they can execute in the half court. If they can play defense, they will have to have some big men step up and play well for them. And that's going to be the key for me with Golden State, is can you get those big men to step up? Can David Lee give you some quality minutes? Can Andrew Bogut stay healthy for any length of time and give you, you know, quality inside presence? That's going to be the big difference to me. We know what you're going to get with Curry. We know what you're going to get with Thompson, Draymond Green, Spates. We know what a lot of those players are going to bring. If they have an inside presence, I still think Golden State could be very, very, a very tough out in these playoffs. In seven games. Can you imagine chasing that team around offensively for seven games? I don't care who you are. San Antonio included. That will not be an easy thing. That will not be easy. Looking at the MVP, and there's a lot of talk about the MVP, and they vote on the MVP, I believe, tomorrow. Who's your MVP vote? Who is your MVP vote? If you had to pick that one player, most valuable player, who does it go to? You giving it to Steph Curry? Best player on the best team? You giving it to LeBron James. Took a Cleveland team that last year they sure didn't look like this. You giving it to James Harden and the job that he's done. We talked about him, I believe it was last week, and the job that he's done on, down in Houston with a number of injuries. I'm going to give you someone who he's not going to get it. He's not even going to get a single vote. But the job that Tim Duncan has done this year with the San Antonio Spurs, playing and staying healthy and playing at the top of his game. And yes, I know he's 40 years old and he's boring and he only averages like 14 points a game. The job that he has done this year, he has actually been the anchor of that team, not relying on the young guys, not relying on the Kawhi Leonards. Tim Duncan has done a phenomenal job this year, and I know he's not going to get a single vote. I think my vote, if I had a vote, I would go with Harden, I suppose. He's done the most with the injuries that they've had. I understand the Steph Curry vote. Here's my problem with the Steph Curry vote. I'm not a guy that I don't like to vote most valuable player as best player, best team. Because if you have the best team, then what you do, I mean, who cares? It's not nearly as important. Now, if you're dragging a bad team, that's more impressive to me. I would probably be more apt to give it to LeBron James than I would to Steph Curry. And that's not a knock on Curry. He just has more around him. LeBron has Kyrie Irving. And outside of that, he's got some role players and some average players. Kevin Love can't even get on the floor. So I don't want to hear about he has Kevin Love. I don't know. Kevin Love is broken now. Something has happened to him. I think I would probably give it first to Harden and then second probably to LeBron. But Tim Duncan, the job he has done for the old man down there, and he has been quality every single night, stepping up when they need him to, rebounding the ball insanely well. Tim Duncan has done a phenomenal job. Phenomenal job. I told you about Chicago. I think Chicago is starting to play a little bit better. Keep an eye on them in the playoffs. Tonight is going to be very, very fun. Tonight in the NBA is basically playoff basketball. Keep an eye on those things, and we will keep you up to date on the playoffs going forward. Right now, we are going to jump into our Daily Dose Top 5. And I don't know if you heard this. I don't know if you saw this. Did you realize that the Milwaukee Bucks changed their logo this week? They got rid of that logo. And they had that logo, and I don't know if you remember it. It was pretty forgettable. It was like red and green. It didn't really match. It was like a Christmas reindeer. And it looked like the cover of the Deer Hunter video game. It was just this deer standing there looking at you with the big antlers and all that. Well, they changed that. They got rid of that. For one, they dropped all the red. The red is gone from the color scheme. And it's basically green and gold now, and I've heard they're going to incorporate some blue with that. I guess. And then they brought out this deer logo, and it is a deer that basically doesn't have eyes. And the only way I can explain it, it is a ghost deer is what I'm telling you. What I'm saying to you is we have a ghost deer as the new Milwaukee Bucks logo. It's a scary-looking logo. I'm not going to lie. I don't know if it's a good-looking logo. But it is a scary looking logo. And when I was looking at that, I was thinking about maybe doing some bad logos. What are some of the bad logos that, come through sports and maybe current teams now that have bad logos? There's a lot of them out there. For one, there's too many. I don't think I could do them all. So I had considered that for our Daily Dose Top 5 this week. And like I've told you in the past, we never know where the Daily Dose Top 5 is going to go. It just kind of has a mind of its own and it just kind of does its own thing. But the problem with doing the logo is that I just figured you can't see them. It's not like I can show them to you, so it kind of doesn't. It just doesn't sit quite as well as what I'd hoped, and so I kind of nixed the idea of the logo thing. But I kind of had that just that same thing in mind, and so we went just a little bit different direction. Our Daily Dose Top 5 this week is the Daily Dose Top 5 worst team names. Worst team names. Now, there's a lot of them out there. I won't lie to you. When I was doing this one, it was the same thing. I was going through a bunch of them saying, this doesn't make sense. This name is dumb. This doesn't even match. But I decided that the worst team names was the way that we were going to go this week. Milwaukee Bucks. Okay, I suppose there's some deer up there, right? But, there are a number of team names that don't make sense. And there's a number of team names that they kind of got trendy. Do you remember back in the 90s? Back in the late 90s, there was actually this trend where the cool thing to name your team was just name it after a cat. Let's see, we've got Panthers, and we'll have the Jaguars, and what else? We got the Bobcats. We've got the, I don't know, anything we can think of. It's a cat, that's what we named it. there was just a trend of cats. We're going to have the tabby cats and the ocelots, whatever we can think of. We're going to just name everything a cat. Cats were big in the late 90s. I don't know why. It was like cats and teal. If we can get cats and teal in the same thing, then we've got gold. But there's a number of names that don't make any sense. Let's jump into our Daily Dose top five worst team names. Number five on our list, the Utah Jazz. Now, it's bad enough that you have these plural nicknames. You have the Jazz, you have the Heat, you have the Thunder, you have the Magic. And so if you are a member of that team and someone says, oh, who do you play for? You have to say, I'm a Jazz. Oh, yeah, I'm a Jazz. I play for the Jazz. I am a member of the Jazz organization. I'm a Jazz. It doesn't really fit. But the worst part of the Utah Jazz, Jazz in Utah, is there a place on the planet that is least likely to have Jazz than the state of Utah? I mean, it would be, and I know, they were originally the New Orleans Jazz. And you can sit there and say, well, the New Orleans Jazz makes sense. First off, that's a terrible name. Don't name anything the Jazz, just as a rule. But here's my thing, that if you move, you should have to come up with a new name. You don't just get to take the name. You should have to come up with your own name. Because a lot of these names are named based on where you are at. And New Orleans Jazz, while it may have at least made sense, is still a dumb name. But Jazz in Utah? You would be better off like naming it the New Orleans Tabernacle Choir. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. You got to change the Utah Jazz. Now, them, you could do some kind of a cat. I would assume there's some sort of cats in Utah. I mean, but a lot of these teams, it is that. It's because they move, and then when they move, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I mean, when you look at the Lakers, show me a lake in L.A. I mean, when they decide they're moving from Minneapolis, they should have to come up with a new name. So they look at it, and they say, okay, Los Angeles Smog, there we go. We even kept it plural for you. But the next lake you see in Los Angeles is going to be like a lake of fire and brimstone, because there are no lakes in L.A. If you move, you got to change your name. Number four on our list. Same kind of thing. We had another team move. But this one might be a little bit worse. And when you hear it, you're going to say, well, who cares? Who cares? But it doesn't make any sense. Number four on our list of worst team names, the Calgary Flames. Now, again, this team moved. But that actually makes it worse, because do you know where they were before? They were the Atlanta Flames. And do you know why they were named the Atlanta Flames? Because Atlanta was burned to the ground during the Civil War. So they thought, oh, that'd really be clever. Why don't we name a team for our own destruction? Somewhere, I don't think like there is a, professional soccer team over in Hiroshima called like the A-bombs. I'm just guessing, but that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Why would you name a team for what destroyed your own city? I'm not going to do that. That doesn't make any sense. It's insensitive. It's mean. But as bad as that is, then this team, the Atlanta Flames, moves to Calgary and they keep the name. Here's the problem. Calgary has no flames. Calgary has nothing to do with flames. In fact, Calgary wishes they had flames because it's freezing up there. Calgary Flames, number four on our worst team names. Number three, worst team names, the Oakland Athletics. And the Oakland Athletics, doesn't make any sense, named for the athletic clubs that were around in the 19th century. But, you know, when you look at it, so you're the Athletes? No. You are athletic? No, we're the Athletics. This might be the only team, any kind of sports name, that is named an adverb. You're not athletes. They're not the Oakland Athletes. And you're not saying, well, they're from Oakland. They're very athletic. They are the Oakland Athletics. Nice job. Nice job on that one. And here's the worst part about it. If you are a fan of the Oakland Athletics, then you are instantly an Athletics supporter. Number two on our list of Daily Dose top five worst team names. This one's weird. The Stanford Cardinal. Not the Cardinals. The Cardinal. Now, understand this, and there's a couple different things about this name. Up until 1972, they were actually the Stanford Indians. They dropped that and changed it. But, you know, when they changed it to the Cardinal, doesn't it kind of sound like a drunken frat party idea? So we're going to be the Cardinals? No. We're going to be the Cardinal. No, we're going to be the Cardinals like the birds. No, we're going to be the Cardinal like the color. Wait, so our mascot is a color? No, our mascot's not a color. Our mascot is a tree. I don't know if I'm following your logic there. I thought people at Stanford were supposed to be smart. The Stanford Cardinal with a mascot of a tree. And number one on our list, Daily Dose Top 5 Worst Team Names. What else could it be but the Washington Redskins? Yes, it is racist. It is offensive. And you could not get away with this nickname with any other race of people. It would not hold up anywhere else. The only way we get away with it here is because most of these poor people have been killed off, and so they don't have as much of a voice as any other race would have. But here's the one thing that I come down to, and I have a lot of people tell me, well, it is actually a source of pride for them. Of course, we tell them what is you know, a source of pride for them. And I don't care about the history. I don't care about the background. I don't care about any of that stuff. If you can't say this name to their face, then you shouldn't be using it as a mascot. And trust me, and I know some Native Americans, I would not say this name to their face. Number one, without a doubt, Washington Redskins wins our list Daily Dose Top 5 this week. Hey, next week, like I told you before, I have a special announcement you do not want to miss. You are going to want to check out the Daily Dose Sports Podcast next week. I have an announcement coming up that is something pretty excited. I'm excited about it. We will talk NBA playoffs next week. We will talk some NHL playoffs. We'll take a look at Major League Baseball and see how things are moving and shifting around. NFL Draft is coming at the end of this month. It is coming very quickly. And as usual, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. Hey, again, if you would like to contact me, Twitter handle at Daily Dose Sports. You can find me on Facebook, Daily Dose Sports, and our website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. If you get a chance, please go on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and give us that review. We would appreciate that so much. As usual, could not do this without you, JSP. Thank you for all that you do here. And hey, I will see you all next week. Enjoy the playoffs. Enjoy the week. Have a great weekend, everybody.